is running away. And I never mind when time runs away during prayer, though. Amen. It's good to forget about time when you pray. But I'm looking up and it's 10 minutes to 8, and I got to be done at 5 after. So we're going to be moving here tonight. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9 tonight. Verses 7 through 9. And we will be reading these verses. We're just reading three verses tonight. Why don't we read them in unison together? And if you got your Bible and you're physically able, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? We'll read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7, 8, and 9 in unison. And mind the commas and the semicolons and all that, like you were taught to long ago. Amen. Let's start in verse 7, read through verse 9. Ready? Let's begin. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. In our last lesson, we concluded the study, and you have your blanks there. We concluded the study of the minister of the mystery, part 2, and this is part 3 tonight. We looked at three things in parts 1 and 2. We looked at the detention of Paul, and we talked about how Paul knew what it was to be a prisoner. He was a prisoner of Rome. He was a prisoner for the Gentiles, but ultimately he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So the detention of Paul. Number 2, we talked about the dispensation of Paul, and that word dispensation has to do with trust, or an administration that was given to Paul. And Paul was trusted with truth. He had truth revealed to him. He shared truth. And then we talked about how God concealed truth, and we'll talk a little bit about that tonight. But then the declaration of Paul. What was the declaration of Paul in verse number 6? It was simply that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And so we looked at that. Paul continues exhorting the Ephesians by explaining God's wonderful plan in using him to preach Christ to the Gentiles. And we could say here Paul is kind of testifying. Amen. He's testifying. So number 1, verse number 7, if you look there, it says, "Wherefore I was made a minister." Number 1, we see the preacher. We see the preacher here. Paul was a minister, okay? He was a minister. And I love verse 7. That's a blessing to me. Brother Ralph Anderson, I don't see him here tonight, but he made me this incredible walking stick. I don't know if you've ever... Brother Ralph makes those, and it's got like a brass head on it, and I'm telling you, he said, bring it to the deacons' meetings, and you can straighten them out with that thing, amen. And I brought it to the last one, and Brother Horst didn't have one problem, amen, hallelujah. They saw me there with that stick, and I felt like Teddy Roosevelt. I speak softly, but I carry a big stick, amen. He put this verse on there, and Ralph, Brother Ralph, he carved it in Ephesians 3:7. It says there, looking at it again, it says, "Wherefore I was made a minister, according to the gift of grace given unto me by the effectual working of his power." Three things about this preacher, Paul. God's call of Paul. And I'm going to just say this, and there are probably some preachers that would disagree, so I'll move over here. But I believe that God calls preachers. I believe that. There are perhaps some that don't. I know Dr. Malone and Dr. Rice years ago used to argue about that, and not really argue, but Dr. Malone believed that God called preachers, and Dr. Rice said, "I volunteered," and Dr. Malone said, "You volunteered because God called you," amen? And I think that's probably, there's some good theology in there. But here, Paul says, look, I didn't make myself a minister. I like to tell our church that. Listen, I didn't call myself here. God called me here. I didn't call myself into the ministry. Frankly, Brother Horsch, I had better things to do, so I thought. But God called me into the ministry. Amen. Amen. And here Paul is just saying, he said, look, God is saying, I was made a minister. God did that in Paul's life. Amen. So God's call of Paul. How about God's grace to Paul? With God's call comes God's grace. What does it say there? He said, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. It's only the grace of God. Brother Jeff, you teach that Sunday school class. How? By the grace of God. By the grace of God. We have people that serve in various ministries here. How do we do that? By God's grace. But then also, the God's call of Paul, God's grace to Paul, verse 7 and 8, we see God's power to Paul. That grace, yes, but what does it say there at the end of verse 7? The grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Hey, I'm glad God just doesn't just give us a little dose of power when we first get saved. Now, He does. He frees us from sin, amen. But it's effectually working in our life. Aren't you glad? That's the kind of God we have. That's the kind of Heavenly Father. He knows we don't just need one big dose. We need it every day, don't we? You know, my kids don't like eating their vitamins. Neither do I, actually, amen. You know what they need them? They need them every day. They need them every day. And so my wife each day says, here you go, and hands them those. You know what? That's God's effectual working power in our lives. Every day. So the preacher, Paul, amen, and he's given his testimony here. We see God's call of Paul, God's grace to Paul, God's power. Then we see the perspective in verse number 8. I love this. Two things about the perspective here. First of all, Paul was humbled. Paul was humbled that this grace was given to him. Paul was humbled. What does he say there in verse 8? He says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. That's humble. Amen. Lest of the least. You know, sometimes we make the mistake of comparing ourselves with ourselves. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12 that when we do that, it's not wise. You know why? It leads to something called pride. Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Or I'm not as unfaithful as them. Why don't we just say, I'm not as faithful as Jesus Christ? I'm not as good. And Paul says here, look, later on he would say, I'm the least of all the saints because I persecuted the church. So he's humbled here, but also he's not only humbled, but he's honored in verse number 8. And I don't mean he's honored to serve God. It says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is grace given. That God would give His grace to me is such an honor. Now you think about that, ladies and gentlemen. I think it'd do us all well. And I hope next Tuesday night we always have a testimony time. It's a thankful time. But sometimes people will say, I just want to thank God for my salvation. I know what I was when God saved me, and I know what I still am. And I'm honored that God would bestow His grace upon me. So Paul here, his perspective was he was humbled, he was honored. Then he makes a proclamation at the end of verse 8. He makes the proclamation. So the preacher, the perspective, the proclamation. Paul proclaims the reason God called and empowered him. What is that reason at the end of verse number 8? Why did God give him the grace? And why did God empower him? And why did God call him into the ministry? Why? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I hope you catch that when you look at the Apostle Paul. What did he say? I think it was in Philippians, Brother Jeff, where he said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I mean, this was somebody who was absolutely learned in the Jewish faith and custom, and God called him to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to those rotten, filthy Gentiles. That's the way the Jews looked at the Gentiles, wasn't it? Paul said, no, that's the whole reason. That's what he's proclaiming. That God used me to preach the gospel to them. So the proclamation, the preaching, number 4, verse 9, the preaching. What was Paul's preaching? 1, 2, 3, 4. Number one, the mission. What was his mission? His mission is there in verse 9. It says, and to make all men what, church? See. Make all men see. To show all men that not only did Jesus die for the Jew, he also died for the Gentile. He died for all, amen. He said that he would make all men see. This carries the idea of searching and finding treasure and then wanting others to see it. Hey, isn't that what happened to us? Huh? Isn't that what happened to us? I once was blind, but now I want everybody else. Remember what that was like when you first got saved? And you went up to your buddy that maybe you hung around with that wasn't a church buddy, and you went up to your buddy and you started talking to him thinking, listen, why wouldn't everybody else want this? I mean, we're talking about missing hell and going to heaven and having an abundant life, and you start talking and they look at you like you had three heads. But you know what your mission is? That others would see the light. Paul says here that all men would see, amen. So there's the mission that all men would see. Number two, the message. What was Paul's message in verse 9? To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now again, make sure you stay in context of what we're talking about here in this passage. What is the fellowship of the mystery? It is that message is, Paul's message was that of the fellowship of the Jew and the Gentile in Christ. In Christ. You know, in Christ, we've been saying this over and over and over again. In Christ, there is no Jew and Gentile. In Christ, there is no black and white. In Christ, there is no male and female, for we're all one in Christ. That was Paul's message. And now, again, think about that. Think about why God chose Paul. What if God had chosen, forgive me, and I'm not being unkind, what if God had chosen some miserable Gentile to carry that message? You know what the Jews would have said? But Paul was a Jew of the Jews. And God called him to carry this message, amen? And it was, his message was a simple one. It was the message of in Christ. This church, in Christ, we're all one. No better, no worse than all the... Listen, everybody that goes to heaven goes in Christ. In Christ, amen? And so that was Paul's message. So the mission, the message, and then three, the mystery. He talks about it there. The fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. We talked about that last week, and we dwelled on that word mystery, so we'll not linger too long there, but it's mentioned six times in Ephesians 1, 9, 3, 3, and 4, 3, 9 here in this passage, 5, 32, and 6, 19. That word mystery, it means something that God purposely concealed. Can he do that? Can he? He's God. I mean, we talked about that on Sunday night, Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto God. There are times where God withholds information. What we have to do is get a proper view of God and say, if God wanted to withhold that information for until this time, he certainly gets to be God. Now, by the way, he gets to be God whether we feel that way or not. But it sure is a lot better for us, in our perspective, that we say, hey, look, God knows what he's doing. God chose Paul to reveal this message. God chose Paul for this message. God chose Paul for this mystery. And how did he do it? Number four, the matchless. Say, what's the matchless? The matchless is the end of verse number 9. It has been hidden God who created all things by who? Who is that? Verse 9. Come on, don't go to sleep on me. Who created all things by who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the matchless. He's matchless. Amen. You read through Ephesians and all that we have. And I don't know about you, I've gotten convicted about my reading through Ephesians and thinking about the lack of knowledge of the spiritual blessings that I have. That's really why Paul is writing Ephesians, obviously the Holy Spirit, but he's wanting us to tune in on all that we have in Christ. All that we have in who? the matchless one, the one we're getting ready here in another 6 weeks or so to celebrate his birth, his virgin birth. His virgin birth. In the spring, we'll celebrate his blood atonement and then his bodily resurrection. No one else ever did that, ladies and gentlemen, and no one else ever will. He's matchless. Thank God. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your blessing in our lives. Thank you for this testimony of Paul, him sharing his heart. Lord, how you plucked him out by your grace. And Lord, how you used him. Oh Lord, may each of us know that we're stewards of grace, that you have put grace in our lives, and you've given us the responsibility to share light with others. Lord, please bless now in our invitation time. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. How about